The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Their attack lines right now, which is sort of calling the other campaign, especially J.D. Vance, weird.
And by selecting a J.D. Vance, who is you know, as the campaign said, weird, but also...
I don't think Kamala Harris is going to pick anyone as weird and creepy as J.D. Vance.
I mean, on the other side, they're just weird. I mean, they really are. The things that they stand for. Donald Trump, of course, is afraid of windmills. And, you know, he talks about all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, his running mate, as you probably have heard, is, you know, getting known for his obsession with couches.
That new talking point, weird or weirdos, however you want to put it.
The agenda, the way they talk to people, the way they address people. It is bizarre.
What I really like about the Harris for President campaign is they are sticking with very relatable, very accessible, and frankly, very uplifting tones. Not just, well, they're not saying the other side is extreme or that they're saying they're just weird. Really, we've got to stay with these really uplifting, positive, and by the way, they are weird.
Yeah, no question about it.
I guess they all got the memo. Now the other side is so weird. I mean, this from the party that celebrates. Well, what you saw at the opening ceremonies for the Olympics on Friday night. I didn't see it myself, but of course, a lot of tweets came in, a lot of commentary. Just how disgusting, like a satanic drag queen sex orgy. And these people, they love that. But J.D. Vance, he's weird. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this good, this fine Monday morning. Camp SEP is over now. Some sadness has set in over the campus, at least for the young people. The adults that helped at the camp are probably taking advantage of a little extra opportunity for rest this morning. Well-deserved rest. They had the closing ceremony last night, the award ceremony for SEP. So that was always, much anticipated, very inspiring, getting to see the video of all the activities from these past 3 weeks. We're sad to see so many of our young people leaving today and going back out, in some cases, to far-flung places across the world. We had young people coming in from all over the place. In any event, you can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/trumpetdaily. We got some good promotional support from Rumble through the weekend, I think either Saturday or Sunday. I didn't check as it was happening, but one of those days they promoted our Friday show. It's up to 104,000 views. I think we added something like 120 followers. So every time I see it, I'm like, if we were doing or trying to do this at YouTube, not a chance that they would actually help to promote our show. In fact, they worked to suppress it. That's what YouTube does. And so to have Rumble actually working in our favor, that's a refreshing twist for sure, given the pressure for these platforms to censor, to squash a message that maybe isn't especially popular. I mentioned, again, just the perversions that the radical left celebrates. And they do it every day. They love it. They love it. You know, they a lot in the Christian community were really upset about the parody over the Last Supper painting. All of these perverts up there as they sort of reenacted that scene. But what about the pedophilia, the child grooming? I mean, you had a drag queen up there with his genitals showing through his clothes. just disgusting stuff. And this is to open the Olympics in Paris. Leave it to Israel. Leave it to Rubin. Oh, and Macron and Jill Biden. They loved it. They loved it. So do those talking heads, as I said there. They love it. It didn't take long before there were some compare and contrast tweets from previous Olympics opening ceremonies, whether it was in China or Russia, some of these Gentile nations. And they had ballroom dancing. I mean, the standard. What has happened in Israel? What have we done to ourselves? The sickness, the perversion. Someone brought, I think it was Raheem Kassam, who said some years ago on Tucker that so many of the leaders in Europe, in these Israelite countries, he didn't say Israelite, that's knowledge that's lost from this world, the 10 tribes of Israel, where they are today. But he said so many of these leaders are childless. They aren't families. And so they don't think about the future the way that you should as a leader. They don't think about, well, what am I going to leave my children? What am I going to leave my grandchildren? This is something my wife and I talk about often. But what if you're in a bizarro relationship and you have no children and all that you see is the Olympics opening ceremony and you celebrate it, you love it, all of this perversion, this anti-family culture. And then let's go after J.D. Vance. He's weird. He's the weirdo. No, they've got it exactly backwards. Sundance. He says here, what was witnessed in the opening ceremony for the Olympics in Paris was beyond grotesque. Physical evil manifesting and parading in front of the world as if Bale was the organizer of the events. Well, the organizer was a homosexual, a proud homosexual. He loved it. He loved what he put together. He loved it. Here we're working right now on this campus on Celtic Throne 2. You know about Celtic Throne 1, how uplifting it is, how family oriented it is, how much it really does give opportunity to children, opportunity to dance and to sing and to glorify God's culture. Just compare that with what Satan is offering young people in the world today. It says here, a completely demonic representation of everything the leftists within politics stand for. What I will say, says Sundance, is that a faceless demon riding a pale horse down the river Seine to hand the Olympic flag to a team of demons who hoisted it upside down sounds exactly like the culture French President Emmanuel Macron has created for his nation. It's just sickening. It is sickening. And it's put out there for the whole world to see. The whole world looks at this. What Israel, the end-time nations of Israel, are celebrating. This creator of this homosexual that created this sickening display, he probably sees it as something courageous and bold. Well, how about if you do that with respect to Islam? Why don't you make Muhammad out to be this cross-dressing drag queen with genitals hanging out and all the... Go after Islam. There's quite a big Islamic population in France. Yeah, how do you think they would receive that? No, it's traditional Christianity. That's always the target. And of course, we know there's a lot of false doctrine and pagan customs embedded into the traditional Christian sphere as well. But leaving that aside, it's such an easy target. Go after anything and everything Christian. Go after God, go after the Bible. And celebrate the perverse. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote about, you know, some sins are not even worth bringing up. It's so disgusting. It's so appalling. And we had some of that over the weekend. And, you know, it'll die down and the Olympics will carry on. A few people will boycott it. This is from the BBC. It says here, a veteran sports commentator has been sacked from his Olympics role after making a sexist remark about Australian female swimmers following their gold medal win. This, too, was happening at the Olympics over the weekend. You know what this guy said? He's a veteran of 40 years. He's been broadcasting for sports for 40 years, water sports. And he said about these Australian swimmers, the women just finishing up, you know what women are like, hanging around, doing their makeup. And that got him fired. I mean, the BBC, they acted immediately. It's not a big deal what happened at the opening ceremony. But this, for a man to talk about a woman or showing up late to the podium because, well, she's in there working on her appearance or her makeup, that gets you fired. That gets you fired in our woke culture. But not putting on display the drag queens with genitalia hanging outside of their clothing. Now, that's totally fine. That's not weird at all. What's weird is for a man to joke. And that's all that it was. He was joking about a woman being late because she's putting on her makeup. And he's out. I mean, it was immediate. You know, I mean, the BBC is on patrol. You cannot say something that is sexist or construed as sexist. You've got to be punished. It says here, as the 4x100 freestyle relay team were making their way off the pool deck in Paris, Bob Ballard said they were finishing up, adding, you know what women are like, hanging around, doing their makeup. As I understand it, he didn't even think the mic was on. This was off mic. I mean, it was a hot mic that caught it, and then it went viral, and then he's gone. He's just making a casual remark, joking about, imagine joking about a woman, or if you're a woman, joking about a man. Well, I mean, I guess you could get away with that in this culture. But these people have lost their minds. It gives you a little bit of a, you can peer into their worldview. And I mean, it is perverse. They look at J.D. Vance. He's conservative. He's got a normal family. He's picked himself up by the bootstraps. He's come out of hillbilly world to make a success of himself. And he is weird. The BBC broadcaster. He's weird. He's weird because he joked about women putting on makeup. But drag queens with genitalia flailing, no problem. Mocking the Last Supper painting, no problem. Having this demonic, you know, Revelation 6 imagery, and then delivering a message to the flag or whatever to the other demons. This is the opening ceremony? Yeah, that's right. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what this is. That's what we're living in. Are these problems, are these sins, is this sickness going to be cured and fixed with the one Republican coming into office? Do you really believe that? It's not going to happen. The clip went viral and the guy gets sacked. But never mind the opening ceremony. Listen, he's weird. He's weird. And so is J.D. Vance. Listen to clip 9.
Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio is standing by his past comments about childless cat ladies. As a reminder, here's what the Republican nominee for VP said back in 2021 when he was running for Senate.
We're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made. And so they want to make the rest of the country miserable, too. And it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children.
So on Friday, Senator Vance appeared on the Megyn Kelly show to try to defend his comments.
Obviously, it was a sarcastic comment. I've got nothing against cats. I've got nothing against dogs. I've got one dog at home and I love him, Megan. But look, this is not, people are focusing so much on the sarcasm and not on the substance of what I actually said. And the substance of what I said, Megan, I'm sorry, it's true. It is true that we become anti-family. It is true that the left has become anti-child. It is simply true that it's become way too hard to raise a family.
And so if you come along and you're pro-family and you join the Trump ticket, you become a target. You're made a prey. And they go after you. How desperate, by the way, for the radical left to go after him on this. Look, the other party, it's being run by a lot of childless women. It's true. He's right. Anti-family. It's happening in Europe. It's happening in the United States. Childless, what did he say? Childless cat ladies? He's over there on the side of the BBC broadcaster. You cannot use sarcasm. You cannot draw attention to childlessness, to dysfunctional families. This is Isaiah 3 and verse 12. And this is all that the communist left has. It shows how desperate they are. If Chuck Schumer comes out and says to Donald Trump, you need someone other than J.D. Vance, Trump better say, that's the only sign I need to know that J.D. Vance is the right guy. And again, no political party or person's going to solve the problems, the sins, the sickness that we see on display every day. But that said, it just shows you. J.D. Vance is trying to stand up for traditional family, and that's not a very popular message in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's just not. You know what's interesting? Signs of desperation as they dig into J.D. Vance's past and what he used to say about Trump and what he says about family and what he said back in 2015. You'll notice that there's been none of that. During this beatification of Kamala Harris, where are conservatives digging up her sordid history, her past? She's anti-family. She wants wide open borders. She wants to expand the Supreme Court. Because she knows that conservatives have an advantage there. Listen to what she said. I'm not sure on the date for this, but this is clip 5.
I am interested in having that conversation, and I'm open to this conversation about extending the number of people on the United States Supreme Court, about increasing the number of people on the United States Supreme Court.
There you go, 2019, you see there on the screen. Blow it up! Just throw on more communist leftists so that we can get an advantage there. Blow it up! Open the border! Continue with Biden's failed policies on the economy, on crime, whatever else it is. Listen to this montage, just skipping ahead here. The beatification of Kamala continues. Clip 6.
And I think that the vice president's launch has been spectacular.
The endorsement from both former President Barack Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama is the cherry on top of a fantastic rollout for the Harris campaign. That is the type of grassroots mobilization and engagement that does remind me of Barack Obama as well.
And what I'm hearing on the ground is a lot of excitement. Excitement about the future, excitement about the Harris candidacy.
And I think what he sees in Harris's rise is that she's becoming a cultural phenomenon.
Her favorability rating among all Americans up 8 points in just 1 week. And there appears to be new enthusiasm for Harris, with 48% enthusiastic about her as the Democratic nominee, compared to 39% enthusiastic about Trump as the GOP nominee.
The opportunity to see the first black woman behind the resolute desk in the Oval Office, it's an opportunity that I can assure you is going to mobilize massive turnout.
It's really critically important that individuals understand what is at stake right now, and everything is at stake. And Kamala Harris clearly is capable and is probably and is the most qualified individual to run for president. In fact, more qualified than the last four presidents.
So, yeah, Kamala Harris in so many ways might just be the right candidate at the right time. The right candidate for this century, by the way.
Did they pull Tish James away from her cabin out in the woods to talk about the quality of this candidate? They did. They did. You know, Sam made an interesting observation when putting this montage together. They're talking about how she's the greatest candidate for this century, as you just heard there from Circleback. The greatest candidate this century? Yeah. And they don't even sound excited themselves. They're just kind of reading the script, kind of like the weird comment. Yep, it's just weird. You know, he's just weird. The whole campaign is just weird. They're drones. They're drones. They're droids. They're stormtroopers. They carry out the talking points for the regime. And so they continue. Not that their opponents should, you know, pull off the gas pedal, because they're working behind the scenes to cheat their way to victory. Yeah, it's possible for Kamala to get 95 million votes. The fake president got 81 or 82 million last time. They will manufacture votes wherever it's possible. And then, too, I mean, it's as it always does. It comes down to 5, 6, 7 states. We'll see how that it plays out. But as my father wrote in America Under Attack, I mean, Barack Obama, he wants a civil war. He wants civil war. He wants violence and mayhem. He wants the perverse and the deranged. He loves the Olympics opening ceremony. It was wonderful. All of these godless people, they love it. I mean, you can see these two sides. Morning Joe, I don't know if I'll have time to get to it, but Morning Joe had this big in-depth reporting this morning on the Atlantic piece talking about the Trump prayers, the prayers before the Trump rallies. If you can believe it, the Atlantic actually analyzed 58 prayers that happened at 58 Trump rallies. And in a way, I mean, the reporting, it is actually interesting, because the prayers are framed in the sense that the other side is evil, which they've got that right, but our side is righteous. I mean, this is Amos 7 playing out. It's incredible. I mentioned that story from Politico. It's still in my notes. The prophets, the Trump prophets, they're appearing at a lot of the Trump rallies. It's Satan's way of discrediting this work, America Under Attack. But too, you can also get some insights into what the MAGA movement believes. They believe that God is on their side, and to some extent he is. There will be a temporary resurgence. But look, a day of reckoning is coming, and we're going to have to confront our sins and the lifestyle that we celebrate. You know, I'm going to be teaching Life and Teachings of Christ for the first time. I'm very excited about that. I'm appreciative of the other instructors that have put in so much work on that course over the years. But to just delve into the lifestyle of Jesus, how did Jesus live? What kind of lifestyle did Jesus promote? What constitutes sin, sinful behavior in the mind of Jesus Christ? Because after all, Philippians 2:5 says that we're to let the mind of Christ in. We're to let Christ guide us. Joel Hilliker has been emphasizing that seventh law of success throughout this camp, how that we need to establish contact with God so that we can have continual guidance and direction from God. What does God think? I mean, forget about the commentary. What did God think of the Olympics opening ceremony in Paris on Friday night? No wonder the weather was just terrible. I mean, here these past 3 weeks, right in the heat of the summer in Oklahoma, We had mild temperatures all the way through. And we saw some forecasts this weekend showing that it's going to return to over 100, triple digits. The moment the campers leave, God blessed this educational program, this summer educational program, quite unlike what you see happening around the world. I mean, Hezbollah just fired a missile into the Golan Heights and killed 12 children. 12 children. That happened on Saturday. And you know what the Washington Post front page put on display? The fact that Israel is retaliating and that the Golan Heights is occupied territory. They've actually got the story about Israel retaliating below this picture of grieving Israeli Druze families because of this bombing from Hezbollah. I mean, it's as if the article, it's as if the picture goes together with the article, like big bad Israel's retaliating, and look at these grieving families. Well, those grieving families are there above the fold because of Hezbollah, not Israel. Hezbollah kills children, Israel retaliates, and Israel's the bad guy. This is your world. This is your world. It's upside down. God says, woe unto them who call evil good. Good. Yeah, the opening ceremony, it's good. It's good. Hezbollah, they're oppressed. They're good. Israel, bad. They're Jews. Definitely. Look at this. There are the grieving families. And right below it, Israel hits targets in Lebanon. The implication is that Israeli targets caused death among children. It's unbelievable. I mean, the Washington Post has some serious Jew hatred motivating their stories. Let's just call it what it is. Kamala Harris is good. Kamala Harris is popular. Kamala Harris is, I mean, she's a cultural phenomenon. She's the best thing that politics has put forward this century. And they don't even sound convinced themselves. Listen to this MSNBC focus group. I think this went a little bit off the rails and they weren't prepared for this. Clip one.
How many of you know a black man who has expressed to you that they're committed to voting for Donald Trump? Sure. For the brothers who have told you that or said that to you, has the emergence of Kamala Harris changed that for those brothers?
No, it hasn't changed anything. These are four black guys, and they just basically MSNBC implodes right on the spot. Four black guys saying, you know what, they're still voting for Trump. Kamala hasn't changed a thing. Listen to CNN for its part as they track down two Trump supporters to see what they think about the emergence or the beatification of Kamala Harris. Clip two.
We did run into plenty of fervent Trump supporters who say the new challenger has only made them more enthused about the former president.
Does Kamala Harris getting in the race change the equation at all for either of you?
Change it? It ruins it. If she gets in, we're done. So
done with what?
America's done for.
Yeah, America's done for. This is firing up Trump's base even more. Now, again, I mean, Trump and his campaign, they do have to pivot. And some have wondered if it was a mistake to have that debate so early, June 27. That was a pivot point in itself. Maybe just let it go, have the debate in September after the Democrat convention when they're stuck with Biden. It didn't play out that way. But again, we can step back and say it's all unfolding according to God's purposes. His plan. What's red is white, what's black is whatever. It's just totally, totally backwards. Everywhere that you look at everything. From red state. These stories happen every day in the New York Times and the Washington Post. Ignore them. So does MSNBC. So does CNN. San Antonio Police responded to a domestic violence call early Sunday morning, this was yesterday, but were met with gunfire from an assailant armed with a rifle. One officer was hit multiple times. The title, suspect who allegedly shot San Antonio police officer with a rifle is a Venezuelan illegal alien. Venezuela, there you go. They're not sending their best. And then, oh, by the way, they just rigged another election on Sunday. Maduro's back in. He's sending his henchmen onto the streets because there's so much unrest. There's so much civil disobedience because they know it's rigged. And what's Kamala say? Hey, we got to support the elections, even if there's some fishy business here and there. Well, she didn't even say that, though, did she? This is from Richard Palmer's Morning Brief. Nicolas Maduro won their elections yesterday with 51% of the vote. Of course, with Venezuela being a communist country, these were not free and fair elections. These were not free and fair elections. Maduro imprisons or prosecutes political opponents. Does that sound familiar? Rigged elections? Trying to imprison political opponents? The communists have emerged here. The communists have infiltrated America. International observers were banned, including a group of four Latin American ex-presidents that had planned to watch the vote. Exit polls showed Maduro losing with only 31% of the vote. And yet, incredibly, he won. He won because they stole it. They stole it. They rigged it. Is it America's fault? In October, the Biden administration lifted Trump-era sanctions on Venezuela, arguing that this would somehow encourage Maduro to hold fair elections. It did not. And both Republicans and Democrats in Congress piled on the pressure for sanctions to be reinstated. As it was clear, Maduro was not preparing for fair elections. Venezuela got 6 months of sanctions-free trading before they went back into force in April. Even then, U.S. companies were allowed to apply for permits to keep trading. Like Iran, Venezuela is an enemy of the U.S., empowered by Obama and Biden. See, Obama loves it. The communists maintain control in Venezuela. That's who he is. That's what he is. Kamala tweeted this: "The United States stands with the people of Venezuela who expressed their voice in today's historic presidential..." Not even a hint. Not even a hint of corruption. Kamala is just praising them. Kamala is just... There's sanctions on this nation. Even under the Joe Obama people. Because people know they're liars, they're cheats, they're violent criminals, they're gang members. She says the will of the Venezuelan people must be respected. I mean, we can't say an election was stolen. Not unless the conservatives win. Not unless the opposing party to the communists wins. Then it's all things stolen. Then it's, it's rigged by Putin. Putin stole it. The bots stole it. You see how it works? You must respect the outcome of the election if the communists retain power. You just have to. You cannot call it into question. If so, Maduro and the dear leader in the United States, they'll put you in prison, or they'll try to. Perfect, isn't it? It's exactly what you would expect. Kamala says, despite the many challenges, we will continue to work toward a more democratic, prosperous, and secure future for the people of Venezuela. You may have seen Donald Trump's comment recently where he said to the Christian community that he was speaking to, look, if you vote this time, we've got to do it to save the country. In 4 years, you won't have to vote. In other words, he said in the context of all that, we'll have the election system fixed. It won't be rigged anymore. And then we won't even need your vote 4 years from now. And then the communists and the regime media, they took a little piece of that clip and said, oh, Donald Trump is saying that in 4 years there's not going to be any voting. He is a dictator. As I said last week, they're guilty of exactly what they project onto Donald Trump and J.D. Vance as well. They're the weird ones. They're not living the way of Jesus, not at all. They're not celebrating the lifestyle that Jesus really did promote, not at all. It's exactly the opposite. Speaking of the election steal, listen to what Donald Trump said over the weekend. I think this was in Minnesota. I know it was in two places, but this is clip three.
If they don't cheat, we win this state easily. Okay? They cheat. They have no shame. They cheat. Do you understand that, you crooked people? They're the most crooked. They cheat. They cheated in the last election, and they're going to cheat in this election, but we're going to get them. They use COVID to cheat. And this time they'll try and find something, but we think we have them blocked. They have no shame whatsoever. You know, the amazing thing is the press, when they write about this rally tomorrow, they'll say President Trump was here. He had a small smattering of people.
They cheat. They cheat. And then he calls out the press, the regime media. They'll lie about this rally. Tomorrow, they'll lie. There was a story back in 2006. This was at the New York Times. U.S. investigates voting machines, Venezuelan ties. This was back when the media were at least a little bit concerned about the machines. About the machines used in Venezuela and how they were making their way to America and how that this was dangerous. We've played the montages before. All of these Democrats getting up in the hearings, going before the cameras and saying, look, the machines cannot be trusted. This was all, of course, before Trump derangement syndrome. This was before Obama completely rigging the voting system in the United States. In so many of these swing states, anyway. It says here, this is the New York Times from 18 years ago. The federal government is investigating the takeover last year of a leading American manufacturer of electronic voting systems by a small software company that has been linked to the leftist Venezuelan government of President Hugo Chavez. The inquiry is focusing on the Venezuelan owners of the software company, the Smartmatic Corporation, and is trying to determine whether the government in Caracas has any control or influence over the firm's operations, government officials, and others familiar with the investigation said. This was back when U.S. authorities and the regime media were a little bit concerned about cheating. And look at where we are today. Look at how, this is pre-Obama, even, this article from 2006. This takes us back to the George Bush era, when you had at least a little bit of sanity on both sides of the aisle. I mean, not a lot, but at least a little bit. Not so anymore. Machines now, they're all over the place. In Venezuela, in the U.S., it's no problem for Maduro. We just need 51%. Just tilt it a little bit in Maduro's direction. And everything's good. Everything's solved. Everything's rigged. Everything is rigged. Listen to this from, where was page two? I have shuffled around all of my... all of my pages. I mentioned that illegal alien shooting up the police officer in San Antonio. Listen to Jesse Waters as he talks about how the radical left just basically cooks the books and tells you what's right is wrong, what's black is white, what's up is down, and on it goes. This is clip seven.
A new report from the FBI shows that there was a 13% decline in murder.
Despite what the data shows, which we've been talking about, the fact that crime is going down in most places is not registering with the public.
I can safely walk my dog to the Capitol today in a way that you couldn't do when we all got here.
I'm glad Pete can walk his dog, but why should we believe the FBI? Well, turns out we shouldn't. The Washington Examiner did some digging and discovered the FBI's been cooking the books. Did you know about half the country doesn't send their crime statistics to the FBI? So the FBI just estimates the number of crimes, and then they estimate in the wrong direction. Murders are actually up 23% across 70 cities since 2019. In Milwaukee, the FBI reported a 13% drop in robberies, but Milwaukee police reported a 7% increase. The Biden administration's using Enron-style accounting to cook the books on everything from crime to the border to the economy. And then the media reporters, they just regurgitate the propaganda and they wonder why the country's soured, we don't trust them, and Trump's winning.
Pure propaganda, as Jesse notes there. Cooking the books. Crime is down. The economy's great. The border's secure. The opening ceremony at the Olympics. It's one of the best ever. Yeah. Trump is Hitler. J.D. Vance is weird. Isaiah 5, verse 20, it says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them. You know, the Democrats, they're so concerned about a day of reckoning. A day of reckoning. And one is coming. God says so. That's the one. We don't want to be concerned about what some opposing party might do when they get back in power. What does God think? What lifestyle does God celebrate? What kind of opening ceremony would godly people produce? Quite unlike the organizer of the Paris ceremony. Proverbs 17 and verse 15, just to throw a few verses at you here at the close. He that justifies the wicked and he that condemns the just, even they both are abomination to the eternal. This is God's view. I mean, if you justify wickedness, it's an abomination. If you condemn the just, if you condemn the righteous, if you condemn the pure, then that's an abomination too. Up is down, black is white, upside down world. So much fakery, even in the world of religion, as 2 Corinthians 11 brings out. I mean, Satan has set up this false system, this counterfeit system of religion, complete with false apostles, false ministers, a false gospel, a false everything. There's a lot of phoniness and fakery in the world of religion. Verse 21, this is Isaiah 5 as well. It says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. You see, they just come out, they celebrate it. I mean, and behind the scenes, they'll maybe tweak the video or blot it out a little bit. They're already doing that with the Trump assassination. We're just 2 weeks away from it. And the Google masters are hard at work to try to blot that out. I mean, they started doing that after 9/11 as well. Let's not show the buildings coming down. Look, we don't want a spate of anti-Islam to spread across the country. No. We've got to celebrate those religions as well. Like I said, you would never see an opening ceremony mocking Islam. You just wouldn't, because you'd probably be beheaded. Such an easy target. Trump, MAGA, that's an easy target as well for these criminals. Just go after them, because they know the Trump people, at least to this point, they're not taking to the streets. They're not showing up with guns, not yet. Civil war is coming. It's prophesied, Ezekiel 4. But for the most part, they know they can go after grandma who took selfies in the rotunda room of Congress because she's helpless. She doesn't have the resources to fight back in court. The only one that does is Trump, and he's winning. He's winning. He's winning his cases. God says, woe unto them who are wise in their own eyes. In Jeremiah 17, it says, cursed is the man who trusts in man We don't want to look to man's standards. We don't want to look to man's traditions. Jesus called out the Pharisees for holding to their own traditions rather than the teachings of Christ, rather than the teachings of Jesus. Jesus was the Son of God. How about if we look to him and what he actually taught? How about if we look to the standard of God? How about if we look to God's commandments? The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7 and verse 12 that those commandments are holy and just and pure, righteous. I mean, those are good things, right? And God says that we'll be blessed if we obey. We'll be blessed. God will shower blessings upon us if we'll just obey his word, if we'll just obey his commands. But we don't want to do it because we're wise in our own eyes. We know there's a better way. We know that we need to clear the way for the drag queens to show up, even in front of kindergartners. Let's get the young people indoctrinated just as soon as possible. And then they can go to Paris and watch the Olympics and celebrate. Celebrate Sodom and Gomorrah. Matthew 6, verse 23, it says, "But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness?" James chapter 2, it says, if you've disobeyed or broken one of those laws of God, you've broken them all. You've disobeyed them all. You're guilty. You're to quote what Jesus says here, your body, your mind, your heart is just full of darkness. God says that we want to become perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. I understand that's quite a standard. And we fall short of that. We fall far short of that. But that is nevertheless the perfect standard of God. And woe unto anyone that would come along and say, you know what? That standard is evil. That standard is done away. That standard is out the window. Jesus did everything for you. You don't have to do anything. You can just sit down on your recliner and celebrate the opening ceremony of the Paris Olympics. No matter how perverse and wicked it is, just celebrate it. Look, it's innovative. It's new. We've never seen anything like it. We've never seen drag queens mocking the Last Supper or drag queens in this sort of child grooming sex orgy. We've never seen anything like it. This is award worthy. This is an award winning ceremony. What must God think? Luke 11, verse 35, it says, "Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness." Take heed. I mean, this is strong warnings coming from Jesus. Jesus, you know, the Son of God, the Messiah. "Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness." Don't let that light go out. Let your light so shine, it says in Matthew 5. Show the world an example. I mean, that example is going to set you apart for sure. And eventually people are going to come after you because of that built-in hostility toward God and his law. Romans 8, 7, Jeremiah 17, 9. But we are nevertheless the people of God, and we need to be setting a righteous example, living the more excellent way. That was the theme for our summer educational program right here on campus for 3 weeks. It is excellent. I talked about it last week on this show with the forum that we recorded down at the campout. The more excellent way. Luke 16 and verse 15, it says, "And he said to them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Be careful. Be careful about what is highly esteemed among men. Be careful following right along after what the elites, the ruling class, celebrate, what Hollywood celebrates. Be careful. Take heed. Don't justify sin because, well, we're at a different time. Everybody's going along. It has popular support. And so we should be clapping for this. No, don't do that. God says shun it. God says turn away from it. I talked to you again last week at that campout about coming out of this world. That was last Wednesday's show. God says, come out and I will receive you and I'll be a father to you. 2 Corinthians 6. Read those last few verses again. Come out of Babylon, it says in Revelation 18. All those Babylonian customs and traditions, don't celebrate those things. Don't worship the way that they worship in this world. It has a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3. How do they deny the power of God? Well, by rejecting his commandments, by rejecting the fact that Jesus is going to return to this earth in power and glory, like it says in the end of Revelation 11. They reject the true gospel. They reject everything about God and true religion. Satan really and truly has deceived the whole world. The Bible says that. Revelation 12, 9. And that same chapter says that Satan's been cast out of heaven to this earth along with his angels. All of them are confined, his demons, I should say, they're all confined to this earth. And that's the spirit behind the opening ceremony at the Olympics. That was demonic. That came out from the mind of the devil. That was not of God. That was not an organizer that was trying to put together perfection in the godly sense. That was not someone trying to put on display God's culture. Quite the opposite. Evil was put on display. And then people rushing to praise it as if it's good. It's everywhere you look. It's everywhere that you turn. A few emails that we've gotten over the last few days. Friday's TD was, as usual, a great show. Very short and succinct. We appreciate that encouragement. Another one here says, these are from my computer. I don't have the notes, but this one here says, I thoroughly enjoyed the last few broadcasts, mainly due to more Bible study than world news. I know you're trying to keep us all in the know of current affairs and world happenings. We did get a few comments along these lines, people that need more instruction from the Bible. I mean, thankfully, we've got a lot of content at our website, thetrumpet.com. We've got booklets, we've got magazines, we've got multiple magazines. We've got email blasts. We've got everything. This particular program does concentrate a little bit more on the news, but we, as you've heard today, we give you God's perspective. It says here, Chris Ray is a disgrace and complicit in the lies, not disinformation, lies surrounding the Trump assassination attempt. Why are we still being surprised when the corporate media continues to lie regarding everything Trump? Another one here says, I got a laugh out of the fake Obama-Michelle phone call. Looks like the entire filmed call was just a reenactment of the call. Just so fakey of the Democrats. We talked about that last week on the show. Another one here says, just wanted to say thank you. I enjoyed the Bible lessons outdoors this week. Outdoor view is nice. You may be getting requests for more outdoor shows. Well, there you go. We should do some shows right here on this beautiful campus you see behind me. We've got so many nice filming spots on these 160 acres. Maybe we'll do it. We'll see. That's all we have time for on today's show. The fastest moving hour in broadcasting without any commercial interruptions. I was driving around. I listen to music about 3 minutes per day on the radio as I drive from here back to the house or the house to the office. And the other day, I must have checked 7 radio stations. All of them had commercials on. I finally turned it off. What's the point? No commercials except for self-promotion on this show. How about that? 55 straight minutes of content. That's the Trumpet Daily. That's what you're listening to, the Trumpet Daily with Stephen Fleury. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.